never rests.
Jimmy Kelly's in the sky. What a thrilling time to be alive.
What's up?
It's Sunday night here on the Dogs HQ YouTube channel, and this is the Georgia Show. Welcome in. Thank you so much for joining us. Make sure you hop in the comments. Let us know where you're watching from. We always love that. And take it easy on us tonight. We'll get to everything. I promise. We'll talk. We'll all talk through this together. Just hang in there with us. Guys, a lot to get to tonight. Georgia versus Austin Peay. What happened there? We'll talk that for sure. Maybe look at this offense. Where does it go from here? We've got to talk a little bit about looking ahead to Georgia at Tennessee as well. We'll get a lot more into that as the week goes on, but we'll definitely preview a little bit this week. But, guys, let's just start it off the top. Georgia versus Austin Peay. What happened in Athens on Saturday in Sanford Stadium? It was a game that was a lot lower scoring than I think any of us projected on our Saturday predictions. We made those when Roe was hanging out at Redstone on Saturday, and nobody was close. We were off by probably, I think, about three scores respectively apiece, and at least. So, Rusty, I'm going to put it to you first, man. What happened out there yesterday? What did you see from this Georgia offense? Let's talk about the totality of it. We'll get to the offense specifically in just a little bit, but let's talk about this game in totality. The defense, I thought, did some nice things. The offense leaving a lot to be desired for a lot of people.
Yeah, well I learned a long, long time ago, and this never changes. You never apologize for an ugly win, and that was an ugly win, a team that you were far better than, and you don't worry about that type of opponent. You worry about what you put on tape as a sample size as a team. And obviously, offensively, that's not anywhere near it needs to be because everybody knows what's coming, and it starts this week. So I still think, man, the defense, is impressing me. I'm very excited to see what this defense looks like against Tennessee this week. But we're going to dig into the offense a little bit more. But they got to get some things going there. And you see Gabe Harris, man, I think that front seven, Christian Miller. Listen, you can only compete against what's in front of you. But they've handled the job. They got put in some short fields yesterday with some quick turnovers. You know, first series of the game there, Nate Frazier has a fumble. And then London Humphreys gets stripped there early in the second half. But other than that, I've been impressed. I'm excited to see what this defense does because they're going to get tested. They're going to get tested big time this week. And that's been a positive, but with Georgia offensively, I'm very interested in what they do this week and how they attack Tennessee.
Jake Rose, I'm glad Rusty got to go first because it just gave me a little more time to research on how to fake mom death. we can talk about what we saw from the offense. We're going to get into kind of what's next with the offense later, but I mean, from the offensive side, there's a lot to untangle here. First of all, I thought Georgia ran the ball pretty well.
Yes.
I thought they kind of – and they should have run the ball pretty well. I'm not sitting here saying that I want to give Georgia a medal for running the ball well or claim that all of its offensive line issues are fixed. They ran the ball well. They struggled with pass protection early again, and it's not because – they have a bunch of slow, poor, bad athletes that can't block. They've got a lot of mental busts. Georgia is now down – at one point in that game was down to like its seventh, eighth, ninth offensive lineman on the roster, having to kind of depend on those guys. They've been bitten hard by the injury bug earlier this year. They brought back four guys with two-plus starts in their career, and the guy with the most starts, Ernest Green, was out today. He's only played two series, or yesterday. He has only played two series this season. So the pass protection stuff, I'm not excusing it, but I can understand it because mental busts and young offensive linemen go together like fish and cheese grits, man. Like, I mean, it goes together like, you know, bacon and eggs. That's just the way it works. And they tend to make those mistakes. They learn from those mistakes. And I do think that they got better as the game went along. Again, not trying to give them a medal, so don't jump on me and say that I'm saying the offensive line's great. I'm still in wait-and-see mode. But Georgia ran the ball well. I didn't hate the game plan of throwing the screens out into the flat and the easy access throws, because just like they were there last week, they were giving it to them. Just throw it and do it. You know, like, I mean, don't force it. Don't do anything like that. Throw it and do it. Execute it. They did that at a really high level on the drives where they scored touchdowns and didn't turn the ball over. Okay, so that was good. But the bad, y'all, Gunnar Stockton, and I think we would all agree, Gunnar Stockton's got to cut the ball loose. And there was a story that I wrote last year, Snap Judgments, after the South Carolina game. Rusty, I don't know if you saw me post that in one of the threads today, but it was almost exactly the same thing that you would say about Gunnar Stockton from that game with Carson Beck. And, you know, we can get into kind of why they're that way. Maybe the way Mike Bobo coaches them. Maybe Mike Bobo kind of throttles them down to the point early where they're hesitant and eventually kind of helps them build the ability to take more chances and take more risks and let it rip. But Carson ended up kind of growing out of that and having a really good 2023 season and you know, kind of got it going. But Gunnar was just way too hesitant. You know, I'm not going to sit here and say there were touchdown throws all over the field, but there were dig routes and curl routes and drags. He just didn't see them. And the one time he did, right, the one time he did was on a third down to Lawson Lucky, and I thought Lawson Lucky got tangled up with the linebacker, really got hit by the linebacker right before the ball, right as the ball was being thrown, and kind of knocked the whole play off. And he finally kind of makes a good decision and anticipates, and boom, you know, that happens. So, man, it's really tough to kind of – sit here and say anything that's going to make anybody feel better, because Gunnar hasn't played great the first two games. He was a lot better in game one than he was game two. But the issues to that game are Gunnar not cutting the football loose, you know, not getting great pass protection early, but ultimately not cutting the football loose. And that's not to say that the coaches aren't involved in that. They are, you know, that there are people that prepare Gunnar to play. There are people that, they recruit these guys telling them, hey, we're going to develop you and turn you into the best player you can be. All right, well, that comes down to it. So, you know, now you're sitting here thinking, who is Gunnar Stockton now? I don't think he's the guy we saw yesterday necessarily, but we know that floor is there, and that's worrisome.
I'm concerned, Rusty. You made a point to say this on the board about Oscar Delp and Lawson Lucky not being involved, and you said inexcusable. It doesn't, you can't not have it. I'd say the same thing about Zach Branch. I'd say the same thing about Noah Thomas. You've got weapons all over this passing game, and like you said, Jake, they took the opportunities that were in front of them, you know, the dink and dunk stuff, the screens, whatever. I mean, it works. They were getting what they were getting, but Georgia is going to need to get the ball down the field. They're going to need to pass down the field at some point in probably the very near future. Like within the next 6 days, they're going to need to do that. And that's a question mark, I think, for a lot of people, just because we haven't seen them do that effectively to this point. They've got all these guys. We talked about in this offseason how Georgia went out and spent to get weapons in this passing game. We know Lawson Lucky, Oscar Delp, two of the best tight ends in the country. I mean, excellent pass catchers, guys who do everything well, have gotten progressively better each year, right? The Dogs have to make better utilization of those weapons. I don't think anybody would disagree with that. I will say, Rusty, my feeling coming off of yesterday, though, on the flip side of it, the defense – still looks very good. And I think that is something that Georgia fans can continue to hang their hat on. I'm not saying it's 2021, but I do think that this is a very capable and confident defense that's playing at a high level already.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm interested in the game plan this week with Gunnar moving forward, because one thing that, you know, you've got to see it, you got to get sample sizes, you know, that was his third game starting. He's got to be involved in a run game, and you don't want Gunnar taking unwarranted shots in a game against Austin Peay, but he's got to be involved in the run game. They showed a little bit against Marshall early on. He's got to do some of that. You know, drop back passing with him right now is not his kind of his specialty right now. So, I mean, he can do it. I think the one thing with, that Jake's saying, you know, turn it loose. To me, you know, another word I use there is anticipate. You know, you got to throw a guy open. You got to throw a guy. When a guy comes, one of the things yesterday, I thought Chase Daniel was fair. I thought Chase Daniel was very fair as a commentator on TV, and he kept pointing out that there's guys running open that Gunner's not seeing. Two plays in particular to me. There was one long throw back against the hash now, and that's a long throw. That's a big boy college football throw. If you're going to start at Georgia, you got to be able to make it. I think Gunner Stockton can make that throw. I do. Kobe Young comes out of his break, and he creates the separation. The DB is on him, and when he puts his foot in the ground and goes back, drives back toward the Georgia sideline, that DB can't stop. He can't get going again. Kobe Young is 3 to 4 yards ahead of him. And Gunner looked at that, and he took off and ran instead of throwing it. You got to trust that Kobe Young is going to get open, and you got to have that ball. When he turns around, it's got to be there, because the windows are only going to get tighter. And you hear that state, you hear that thing sometimes, you got to throw a guy open. That's what we're talking about. Turn it loose. You got to be able to anticipate throws. You got to be able to make those throws and trust that your guys are going to make it. You know, I think there'll be a lot of stuff there. I don't know how confident Gunner is right now. I'm sure they're going. That's going to be a lot of, you know, a lot of discussion this week internally where he is. You know, and yesterday, I just say it. You know, I guess you can call it validation. We reported on the board, and I trust our sources. A lot of the people that are on our board are people that are at practices. So Jake and I will come back on fall camp, and we will make notes on scrimmages. And then we'll have people that were there, and they'll come back and basically say the same thing, or they'll add a couple more. Hey, this guy looked good. That guy looked good. Gunner Stockton's been doing it in fall camp. He's been making explosive plays. He's been throwing the ball down the field. Noah Thomas has been at a great fall camp, but he's not doing it on Saturday. And that's what I said the entire time. Everything you're hearing here is what you want to hear out of your quarterback in fall camp. He's got to be able to do it on Saturday. Now we're really into he's got to be able to do it this Saturday. So, you know, what does Georgia do with that? They get him. I promise you right now that Gunner Stockton is going to be involved in the run game this week. They're not going to hold him back on the run game. He's going to be involved this week. And we'll see. But, you know, when Jake says turn it loose, I like to say that as well. But also the anticipation. You got to throw a guy open, and you got to trust that guy when he comes out of the break. You got to turn it loose. There was one particular play yesterday, and I saw it on X, and I don't know who it was. And I apologize, but they were doing a film breakdown. And there was a throw where Jake, he does a check down to Dake Frazier. But I want you to watch. And Jake Rowe, when you get into your X's and O's, you're going to find this play. And I want you to watch Jaden Riddell running right up the seam. And he is wide open. He's running up the seam. And you got Nate Frazier flaring. And Gunner looks at him. And he comes off and checks it down. And I don't know why he didn't do that, because that is a ball 1,000 times that Gunner Stockton can throw. And when I saw that play, I'm like, something's going on here. Not real sure what's going on, but they're going to have to hit those chunk plays like that. And when Jake, when you do your X's and O's, you're going to see that play. I'm pretty sure we'll probably talk about that.
Jake, I wanted to bring up this question here from the side, because it was something that you and I talked about. How are we having these discussions about a fourth-year quarterback? We talked about this on the radio just about 30 minutes ago. And I thought that you brought up some really prescient points, and I'd like you to go back to that.
Sometimes I think when you're a fourth-year quarterback that hasn't played much football, that it kind of works against you a little bit. Like, you're ready to manage the offense. You're ready to, you know, there's a lot of motions and things like that you can do. But there's a lot of, like, real-time execution stuff that's just not – it's not like riding a bike. You actually go a lot longer without playing competitive football. And there's the biggest difference for a quarterback between practice and games is taking care of the football. When you throw a pick on the practice field, you get yelled at. When you throw a pick in a game, you put your defense at, you know, in a bad spot. You get yelled at. You get booed. Not necessarily, but you know, you let a lot of people down. It counts. It's different. I can understand why a quarterback would be a lot more hesitant in a game situation than he would be, you know, throwing a pick in practice. And I'm sorry, guys. I don't care how long the guy's been on campus. He's still just making his third start on Saturday, and he's nowhere near a finished product. Stetson Bennett had been on campus a long time, and Georgia fans were calling him a bonehead and an idiot for making bad throws whenever he just hadn't played a whole lot of football at Georgia. And so I don't necessarily think that, oh, yeah, he's been around for a long time, he should be a ready-made product as good as he's going to get and a finished guy. That's not the case. You got to play ball.
Let me say this too, Jake, as you say that comment is a fourth year comment and not taking a shot at that question, because I get it.
Yeah.
But Trevor Lawrence was one of the greatest high school quarterbacks to ever play high school football. He had one of the greatest careers in Clemson. People are still having discussions about Trevor Lawrence in year five in NFL. You know what I mean? There's always questions about the quarterback position. There's always questions about development and how these things are going to work out. So I'm not so worried about a fourth-year guy. As Jacob, you know, said, this is a guy that's making his third start. And, again, I'm not sitting here taking up for him. There's things he's got to work on. He's got to fix it right now. I'm not ready to shut the door on Gunnar Stockton by any means, but he's got to flip that switch right now. He has waited his turn for this. And this is big boy football, man. This is big boy football. You got to take advantage of your situation, and you got to lead this team, because I know for a fact that freaking locker room loves that kid. But you got to do it, man. You got to do it on the field to get that extra. They got to sit in that huddle, Jake. 10 guys got to sit in that huddle and go, Gunnar Stockton's about to be that dude. You know what I mean? So this is a great opportunity for him this week. And but being the fourth year thing, I think that's not a – to me, that's not so much a question as opposed to what Rose said as a third-year starter, a third-game starter.
Absolutely.
Guys, before we get into talking about more of our partners, I want to shout out Redstone. We were there again
on
Saturday. We had a good time. Listen, we're going to spend 3 weeks telling you about this party we're going to have out at Redstone for the Alabama game on September 27th. Dogs, you will be at Redstone. We're planning some things. We got some things going. Rusty's going to be there. Sunheist is going to be there. We're going to talk about them in just a second. You got to come out to Redstone on September 27th out on Highway 129. They're just inside the Athens city limit. Man, I'm excited. I'm so excited about Redstone for the Alabama game. Rusty, we're going to be out there about the same time we've been out there here lately, even though it's a night game, because we want to make sure that Georgia fans kind of have, you know, we'll linger around a little bit longer than we have been. But, man, I'm excited. We've got to get them to bring us out like a ready-made tailgate package for the Dogs HQ crew. Man, that's a mouthful to eat, because I definitely want to check that out.
The weekend we're going to have Alabama, we hadn't announced. We got another announcement coming soon for Alabama weekend. So we're going to need some food at Redstone that Saturday morning. So look forward to everybody out there. Man, the place is great. And I knew one thing. We get people in there, it was going to be a no-brainer.
I wanted to bring up our friend Andy Marcus said, had the brisket sandwich on at Redstone, and oh boy, that made the next 4 hours tolerable. So appreciate Amen. You shouting Amen, that out.
Brother. Amen.
Something else you can check out at Redstone, Sunheist.
Sunheist, yeah. Get over to sunheist.com, 20% with code DOGSHQ20. And that's not just off your first purchase. Jake Rowe corrected me in the last show. This is any time, man. So go on, load up. Listen, Christmas shopping season is coming quick. You're out there tailgating. It was cool today, but the sun was – it was warmer than the sun, man. Felt good out there. It was perfect weather today. Sunheist got your shades covered, man. Super lightweight frames, lifetime warranty on them, injected polarization so you don't have to worry about delamination, great customer service, free returns. The list goes on and on and on, man, when it comes to Sunheist. Get with them today. Get yourself a great new pair of sunglasses at an incredible price, and a price made even better using code DOGSHQ20 when you check out. We appreciate our partners over there for sure. Guys, I think we went into this show trying not to talk about the offense until the second segment. We kind of couldn't help it. We were kind of chomping at the bit here, like a dog on Jake Roos's belly. We were trying to get to it, but I want to talk about this offense. Where does it go from here? What do we have to see? Look, you've got injuries on the offensive front already. Now, Rusty, I will say, Jake and I talked about this. The one thing that I do feel better about this point in the season, comparatively to last year, I think that the running game is a step ahead of where it was this time last year. I think that we're seeing more consistency. I think we're seeing more explosive plays. And I think that we're seeing a deeper backfield back there. Dwight Phillips had himself another good game on Saturday. Nate Frazier with 2 touchdowns. Chauncey Bowens with 2 touchdowns. Some guys are starting to kind of get some wind under their sails. But this passing game is leaving so much still to be desired, especially with all that meat on the bone with the weapons, that
the criticisms are fair. And Rusty, there are people over here in the comments that have talked about Ryan Puglisi. Why didn't we see more of him on Saturday? I think that people probably expected a higher dose of that, but Georgia did chew up most of the clock in the fourth quarter, which is when you might have had a chance to see him.
Yeah, look, and you can disagree. I certainly get it, but this is the Gunnar Stockton show right now. Like, this guy, this is the guy. This is who they're working with right now. Now, where are we at the end of September? You're going to play Tennessee and Alabama, and you got a bye week because you're going to have 3 weeks of, you know, it's going to be physical practices, and you'll have a good sample size of what they're doing with Gunnar Stockton. You know, if things aren't improving, who knows what could happen. But right now, you could tuck that Ryan Puglisi stuff away. It's Gunnar Stockton, and he is way out here, okay, for them. Does he have to get better? Yes, he has to get better. This is what I said. You have to do it on Saturdays, okay? Kirby Smart makes $13 million a year to make these type of decisions. These are big boy-ass decisions. I'm just being honest with you there. Do I think it's Gunner's no matter what? No, I don't. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying right now, they're going to be fully vested in this kid, and because they've seen enough to think this guy's giving us our best chance to win right now. Does it happen like that in November? I don't know. I can't answer that. But we're going to have a better answer on Gunnar Stockton at the end of September. I can promise you this. After that Alabama game, we're going to have a Tennessee game, a bye week, and then Alabama at home. We're going to know probably where things are with Gunnar Stockton. So I've said it, man. I know Ryan Puglisi. This kid's got a freaking cannon strapped to his shoulder. You know what I mean? This kid, I think he's wired right. You know, there's some things he's still working on. You know, if you play him in a situation, if something happened and he had to go in the game, you love the ability to drive the ball down the field. You love it. The probability of him turning it over is a lot more than Gunnar Stockton based off what I've heard, okay? Yeah. Based off what I've heard. And that's a young player. That's a young player. You know what I mean? So all those things, he's going to continue to grow and develop. So, you know, I just think right now with Gunnar, I'm very interested in the offensive package this week. I don't expect Gunnar Stockton to drop back and pass 30 times this week against Tennessee if they think they're going to win that game. Georgia's been very good defensively against Josh Heupel. They've been very good. I think like 33 series and like 35 series, I think, and like 3 or 4 touchdowns. You know what I mean? They've been damn good against him. I don't know that, you know, we'll see. But historically, against him, Kirby Smart, Glenn Schumann against Josh Heupel have been really good. So you kind of feel confident there. You're not going to have to – I don't think you're going to have to outscore somebody. You're going to score enough to win this game. I will say, going back to the run game, and everybody that follows my work, I am absolutely just over the top about – making a running back making you miss tackles, running through an arm tackle, making a guy miss. I love what I see out of 33 and 20. Nate Frazier coughs one up yesterday, and that's been the deal with him now. That has been the deal with Nate Frazier is turnovers. He turns one over, 20 and 33, Bowens and Peanut, they start balling now. And guess what? When three got in the game again, and then go back to him. He has some juice to him. You know what I mean? Like I think Nate Frazier, even though he's a 5-star and he was all this, I think Nate Frazier understands. I'm at Georgia and I got to compete. I got to step it up. And I thought he had some great juice. I know Kirby lit him up on that goal line play. And you want to see a running back, if you can read Kirby's lips, basically said effing strain. You know what I mean? That's what he said. I need you to effing strain. I need you to finish a half a yard. You can't get stopped on a half a yard. And I get it, you know, but I still think Nate Frazier had a really good day, even after a turnover. I love Bowens. I think Bowens is running through arm tackles. I think he gives you a little bit of that thunder and lightning you like. And Jake Rose said it last week about 20. That man puts a cleat to the grass real quick, and he can pick them up. And I like what I see. He sees it. And Jake Rowe also said something good today about, I was reading that, get him involved in the pass game because he's going to be one-on-one. He's going to be one-on-one with some backers. Yeah. You're talking about a damn nightmare. So, you know, let's see what we can do offensively.
And I will say this, Rusty, one of the things that caught my eye out of this game, and I felt a lot more positive about, Jake and I talked about it on radio, Dontrell Glover stepped in and played quite – admirably. And really what Dontrell Glover has done, and it's a hard thing to do for a lot of guys, he's just pulled over what he did in high school, and he's playing that way in college. He's playing with that same nastiness, that same physicality, and that was what Georgia loved about him while he was at Langston Hughes. You turn that tape on, man, he plays that position aggressively. He was the highest graded guy by PFF with over 10-plus snaps. And like I said, I just use that as one data point. It's not an end-all, be-all, and certainly Kirby Smart doesn't think so either. But I do think that, you know, Dontrell Glover got in there and showed some things. You've seen a significant usage of Cortez Smith through the first two games. Juan Gaston is your projected starter at the right guard position. They did a nice job hitting on some of these evals on the offensive line. They're young guys, man. But I think that there is some positive to be taken away from there two games into the season.
My favorite text on Dontrell Glover. I checked with somebody that I trust in the building. This was his quote on him today. He's nasty, and, man, he loves this effing shh. That's what you want to hear of a freshman offensive lineman.
Yeah, for sure. One thing I want to point out too, there's a lot of people making a big deal about the thing before the half, and you know it sucks that Georgia couldn't get in. Like, I get that, and I'm going to circle this back to Dontrell Glover just so everybody's aware. There's this talk, hey, Georgia can't get the ball in on the goal line. Georgia, I mean, guys, they ran the ball in on the goal line like four times in the first 2 weeks. Like, I understand they didn't get it in right there before the half. The clock had something to do with that. You're kind of caught between, hey, you know, do we, you know, we want to try to throw it in if we can, because you want to try to get as many opportunities as you can. My problem with what happened before half is they never got into the stuff that was successful for them on the goal line. I think once they got down there to the one and they called that timeout, I think you got to treat it like a one play deal. You know, yep. Like, get into your best goal line play and let's hammer this thing out. Have a second play called. Go get up and ground it if you possibly can, because there's some time there. But run your best thing from the goal line. And they didn't do that. They ran the little toss play out to Nate Frazier. That didn't get in. And then, you know, Cash Jones has got to catch that ball. I know it's not easy, but, you know, I think Cash would probably come up and, you know, tell you, hey, I got to catch that football. Just like Gunner would tell you he's got to make a better throw. That's accountability. You know, Gunner's got to make a better throw to Zakovi White on the slant pass and you know, get the ball out quicker to Zachariah Branch and all that stuff. But I'm not going to sit here and beat up on the O-line whenever it's just continually ran the ball in short yardage goal line situations are thus far really well. I know Austin Peay's line is light in the pants. Like, I get that. But I'm not sitting here telling everybody that I think Georgia's going to roll up to Knoxville and it's got all of its run blocking issues figured out. But I have not really been worried about this team's ability to run the football through 2 weeks. You know, they countered. What do we hear all offseason? Well, Mike Bobo doesn't know how to counterpunch as an offensive coordinator. Well, they counterpunched great last week whenever Marshall sold out to kind of stop them from running the ball between the tackles. They ran the ball outside. They had quarterback keep. They put some things on tape. Georgia ran it really well. This week, they ran right at Austin Peay like they should be able to do. They didn't really have a whole lot of problem at all running the football. I mean, I think before the reserves came in, Georgia was well over five a carry, and at halftime they were over six a carry. So, listen, the offensive line has some things to clean up, and I think that's going to help Gunner when they get those things cleaned up. Brother, I'm telling you, when you start having to play, you know, the seventh, eighth, ninth, tenth guy on your bench on the right side, on one side of the line of scrimmage, you're going to bust assignments. You're going to bust assignments. And that's, you know, when you talk about the non-Gunner Stockton things going on with this offense, that's the number one thing I feel like has got to get cleaned up is there. And I'm still in wait and see mode on the O-line as to whether or not it's gotten better as run blocking. But, you know, listen, if you're sitting here talking to me about the offensive line and just, you know, flat out saying without any mention of the injuries that they haven't gotten better, I just know you want to be frustrated with the offensive line. That's all I know, because – there's challenges right now in a short amount of time. And like I said earlier, the one thing I keep coming back to is I think you can be complimentary of the idea that they are sorting out their issues as the game goes on. That, you know, you come out for the second half, you come out for the second quarter, they're not having the same, you know, run throughs and add-ons and issues in the pass rush that they were having earlier in the game. And I think that does go to show that you've got some teachable guys and you got somebody kind of adjusting on the fly. Can they get those issues completely eliminated altogether? That remains to be seen, because I think last year they had the same issues in game one as they had game 14. And that's the key to this football season. I don't care how good Georgia is at any position in game one and two this year. If they don't get any better, they're not going to win anything. That's if they were killing it right now or not. So they got to get better. And, you know, I tend to trust a Kirby Smart coach football team to get better as the season goes on.
Reasonably so. I think that's the case. I will say, look, the concerns people had coming into this season are not assuaged. In two games in, they're probably feeling a little bit justified in their concerns, right? Which was Mike Bobo, Stacey Searles. Those do appear to still be the issues. I think the wide receiver room is looking much improved. The tight ends have been quieter, but I think that's a byproduct probably of the quarterback play, right? I will say it looks like Josh Crawford's unit's taken a little bit of a step forward after a rocky start for him. But overall, those two guys are bearing the brunt of it, and I think rightfully so. And I think until they go on the road, pull off a big win, that's going to continue to be the case.
Yeah, I'm going to dig more into it tonight and watch the tape a little bit more. I skim through it a little bit. But Jake's right. I mean, you're sitting there playing a true freshman, and you got right guard. And if I'd have told George in three weeks ago, hey, you're going to be playing Bo Hughley and Dontrell Glover right guard just about the entire game. And I'll say this too. I don't know what Bo Hughley graded out, but Ja Jackson struggled yesterday at right tackle.
He did big time.
He struggled. And this is a kid that's extremely raw. You know what I mean? He's 6'10 and all that, and I get it, but he's really raw. Obviously, they felt like he was ahead of Jai Jackson, Bo Hughley. Bo Hughley came in, and he had some nastiness to him. I really like that. And, you know, that's two Langston Hughes kids right there on the right side.
Getting that start may have played a role in that, Rusty. Like, not getting that start after being the first guy off the bench. Last week, right. So he was the first guy off the bench when Ernest Green comes out last week. Let me paint a scenario for you. This is totally hypothetical. I have not heard this. But Bo Hughley goes in the last week of practice thinking, I was first guy off the bench. I'm going to start at right tackle this week. And he kind of carries it that way. Struggles, maybe. Messes this assignment up, whatever. And Georgia decides, hey, Ja Jackson was better this week in practice. I'm going to play him. Bo Hughley sees that. I like the response there, because he came out in the second half and he was good in pass protection last week against Marshall, but I thought he struggled as a run blocker. He was markedly better in both areas this past week. Against Austin Peay than he was in week one. Is that because of the competition, or is that because he was a little bit more focused because he did not get that starting nod and wasn't even the first guy up when Ja Jackson got hurt because they moved Michael Looney over? It's been a musical chairs on that right side. Georgia's trying to find the right combination of guys if they can't go with Juan Gaston and Ernest Green. I will say, though, you know, and this isn't totally – I do feel pretty decent about Ernest Green giving it a go in Knoxville.
Yeah, I do too. I feel good there. Juan Gaston, I think, will be somebody that we'll watch during the week. But, you know, it'd be interesting, Jake, if Ernest Green goes and Juan Gaston doesn't go. Are we going to sit there with Dontrell Glover? True freshman. So, right.
Y'all know what just happened there.
Was,
I'm sorry.
That was that scene from Wayne's World. Extreme close up.
Jake wanted his time there. You know what I mean? I thought we were doing an Ole Miss photo shoot there for a minute.
No.
Down till Saturday morning at the Sears, baby.
Oh, man. Guys, it's Modelo season. As much as it's completing season, it's Modelo season. If you're watching the Georgia Bulldogs, you probably could use a Modelo right now. Get over. Look, guys, they're the official beer of the college football playoff. Listen, you know Modelo. It's super refreshing. It goes with everything. Ice down a couple for your tailgate this weekend, man. Go get, just enjoy, man. Sit back and you know. Don't Jalen Carter spit on anybody in Knoxville, but have yourself a good time and enjoy a Modelo along the way. Georgia fans, how about them dogs? How about Modelo?
Can I say something positive? What did Georgia's 33 home games in a row win?
Yeah.
I hate to be the bearer of news, but you know, if you've been around a long time, 33 home games in a row is incredible. That's hard to do, man. And when this streak is broken, Georgia will never come close to that again. I'm just there with you. So
this guy's all over the place today, man. You can't stop him. You can only hope to contain him. MyPerfectFranchise.net. If you are looking for an opportunity to get out, expand your business horizons, take your business and life into your own hands, give MyPerfectFranchise.net a great resource to connect you with a number of different franchises in a number of different spaces. They've got all the expertise in the world. They built the businesses. They understand it. Andy Ludicky and his team ready to help you today. Get with MyPerfectFranchise.net today and see how they can help you out. Boys, we've kind of been beating around it all day. Tennessee is looming. The SEC opener on the road in Knoxville. And it's going to be an interesting one because I think as much as we don't know about Georgia, we also don't know exactly a lot about Tennessee either. They rolled over an East Tennessee State team. They beat a Syracuse team that, quite frankly, Fran Brown's squad not looking very good this year. They're struggling quite a bit. So I'm not, before the Vols fans hop in here and say that I'm downplaying it, they look better than Georgia, okay? They are scoring a lot more points than the Georgia Bulldogs are. There is no question about it. Vegas has the dogs at a 7-point favorite. That's MGM Sportsbook has that 7-point favorite in this game. Looking ahead to this one, guys, what's got to happen?
Well, go ahead, bro.
Yeah, you don't win on the road if you can't run the ball a lick. Okay, they've got to get some sort of run game going. I'm a little bit more encouraged for them to do that than I was last year. But Rusty, the thing that worries me the most, and I've heard you bring this up before, Kirby brought it up in his post-game press conference the other day, Georgia's history with that first SEC road game. It is normally an absolute rock fight. Missouri in 2022, Auburn in 2023. Last year, Kentucky, that's always a rock fight in Lexington. Kirby just seems to like that. Going back to 2021, was that Auburn as well? I can't remember if that was Georgia's first SEC road game that year. But it just seems historically that first SEC road game is a little bit of an issue for Georgia. Even going back to the Arkansas game in 2020, Georgia trailed at halftime against an inferior team. Go back to 2019, it was Vanderbilt. That was the season opener. And that one, Georgia got off to a fast start. I think they jumped out to a big lead but didn't really score in the second half. So that first SEC road game can be challenging. But with that said, and I think this probably has to do with kind of the ups and downs that Tennessee's been going through, Georgia's been nasty in Knoxville of late. They have been absolutely great in Knoxville of late. That does nothing for them on Saturday, though.
Two things: travel, defense, and being able to run the football. And, if Georgia can do those, both of those things, they'll have a great opportunity there. I had a buddy of mine call me today, and he goes, "Man, what are we going to do if we lose to Tennessee?" I said, "It's going to happen sooner. One day it's going to happen. You're not going to beat Tennessee." When Tennessee had, 9-10 game win streak against Georgia in the 90s, and Georgia finally beats them in, 2000? In Athens or 01 in Athens, whichever year that was. But it's going to happen at some point. Will it be this weekend? I don't know. I still think Georgia has the better roster. But I do think Georgia's going to have to play well up there again, and they're going to have to be able to, don't think for 1 minute that – Georgia gets the tape, obviously. But don't think for 1 minute they're not going to have some heavy discussions with Fran Brown this week about what they saw in person, some of the things that they thought they wished they would have done different. Syracuse is not bringing the same personnel to play Tennessee as Georgia's about to bring. So it'd be interesting, the behind the scenes there and what Syracuse saw and what Fran Brown who definitely is respected, especially as a secondary coach, what he saw and probably what he thinks, you know, what Kirby and Schumann's system is. This is what you might want to tweak because we saw this and we prepared for this. So there's a little game within the game there. But I'll say this, guys. I have said it till I was blue in the face about this. We were going to find out what this team was. A really good sample size is when they played at Tennessee. And we're going to find out. Is this just the game of the year? It's not the game of the year. But this is a very important game of the year. I don't know what the game of the year anymore is. Maybe the last game of the year is the most important. But this is a very important SEC opening road game in Knoxville. Place is going to be freaking rocking. I've been there many times. And but I will say this, that historically, Georgia has done very well against this offense. And, you know, I know a lot of people have kind of studied what Georgia has done. The one thing I can say this, they've gotten after the quarterbacks, whether it's Hendon Hooker, all those guys, Nico, they get to those guys and kind of knock them off their spot. So that's going to be, I guarantee you, that's going to be a point of emphasis. And everybody wants to talk about third down packages and who's doing this and who's doing that. You're going to see it this weekend. It ain't going to be no more Rusty Mansell. And Jake Rose said, you saw this in practice. By God, Saturday at 3:30, when it's third and nine, you're going to find out where Georgia thinks they are and who gives them the best opportunity. Who's going to be on the back end of safety? Because I'm going to tell you something. When you play Tennessee, you're going to get freaking tested with deep balls. I promise you that. That's a wrap. You're going to get five or six deep balls because they're going to turn that damn thing loose. Can you cover on the back end? You know, you got Kyron Jones who's been starting. Dude's got a big old freaking cast on his hand. I don't know if that thing's going to be off by then, but, you know, KJ Bolden, so everybody's going to get tested there. And I'd be interested to see how Georgia lines up on third down and what pressure packages they're going to use against Tennessee. This is Joey Aguilar. It's a guy that's played a little bit. This is the best defense he'll ever face. Okay. Well, how's he going to react to, you know, coming from App State to here? This will be a big test for him. So there's a lot of questions at quarterback this week and a lot of things will be answered with these teams.
No questions.
Bruce, you're from Tennessee. Tell us everything we need to know about Tennessee.
I hated to see your Florida Gators lose this past weekend.
Jesus.
I will say that. No, look, I mean, like I said, man, earlier, Tennessee.
I'm not a Florida fan, by the way. I need everybody to know that for the first time. We got a lot of people watching this thing right now, and I am not a Florida fan.
So. Tennessee has put a lot more on tape than Georgia in terms of points. Okay, they've scored a lot more. If they're coming in with confidence, I think rightfully so. Based on the first couple of weeks, they got this at home. It's 3:30. The crowd's going to be right. You know, there was that big number one game, right? You know, when they came to Athens and the crowd showed up for that one. Let me tell you something. They're going to be they will be rocking kneeling. There's no question about it. This is a proud fan base of people, and they're smelling a little blood in the water.
They want Georgia.
They
want Georgia bad.
They want Georgia. I'm telling you, their fan base wants Georgia, and I get it. I went through all that stuff in the 90s. I fully understand it. Maybe some guys from Rome, double bird, flip off Philip Fulmer, and the whole Tennessee team pulling in there in 98 when Quincy Carter and M game day was there, and they got beat like Tennessee being like 21-3. So they Georgia's been on the other side of that. I do think Georgia's a better team, but they got to play a lot better. They got to play a lot better. And when Vegas has you a touchdown favorite, those buildings those buildings weren't built by guessing. Now they're not always right, but. That's a significant amount. I probably would have thought 3.5, 4 after yesterday, but they're pretty confident in Georgia. So we'll see as this week goes on. And Tennessee's a little bit banged up now too. Their two starting corners I think are out. They got some younger guys playing. They got some D-line issues. So they're a little bit banged up too. But we'll see how Georgia attacks them and kind of what we hear as the week goes on.
Yeah, that kind of makes me think that Georgia might see some of the same that they've been seeing in terms of big cushions and playing off. And I'm not so sure that's not the best way to kind of play Gunnar Stockton right now, is to kind of make him dink and dunk as opposed to giving him shots to really step into downfield. Because I see all the criticisms of, man, Gunnar can't throw the ball past 10 yards. Man, go flip on the Sugar Bowl. I'm not saying that Gunnar lit it up in that game. He had no run game and no offensive line play in that game. I mean, Georgia couldn't protect him. But – you know, you see kind of quick slants to Dominic Lovett. You see a great back shoulder fade to Dylan Bell, a great over route to Dylan Bell that got dropped, a wheel route to Cash Jones, a perfectly thrown deep ball to Arian Smith where my man wasn't standing in the white, but he was leaned over the white. And that was, you know, Parker Jones, I think is the kid's name, you know, that whole play. I don't have any doubt. I watched the G-Day game too, Rusty, and you did too. I kind of went back and there, somebody kind of did a telephone deal from the stands of G-Day, and it's not great, but I kind of watched some of that earlier today. Just like, hey, did I make this up? I'm sick. I'm sick. I got a problem. Yeah. But don't judge me like State Shapiro over here, Rusty, like he was judging you the other day. But you know, these little tight end quick posts, the digs, all that stuff. Gunner was throwing the ball over the middle of the field against Georgia's number one defense. I'm not saying he's sitting here and lit him up, but he made some big boy throws in the G-Day game, okay? So I think Gunner's going through a little bit of a crisis right now of not necessarily confidence, but of courage, you know, to kind of, you know, let it go. And if I was Tennessee, I'd play Gunner exactly like the first two teams would play because I got better athletes than those two teams, and I think I can execute that better. But I'm telling you, if they come up and get in Georgia's face and they want to put Colby Young and they want to put Noah Thomas in one-on-one situations, I think Gunner's probably going to go get after him a little bit there. Mm-hmm. But I don't want anybody to fool themselves into thinking, oh, Gunner can't throw the ball past, you know, 10 yards. I think Gunner has gotten lured into taking what the defense gives him for the first couple weeks, which is never a bad thing if Georgia can just, you know, protect better and make it shots count. He just has to let it rip when he's got open receivers. He has to, like you said, throw guys open and anticipate. And you know, no better time to do that than in Knoxville. And I'll say this too. I've seen a lot of crazy moments in Neyland Stadium. You know, I was there when Nick Chubb got hurt and Leonard Floyd had that run back and Tennessee came back. I was there in 05 when Thomas Flowers returned that interception. I thought it was an interception, that punt for a touchdown, and that place was as quiet as you've ever heard in your life. Yeah. And watched Georgia blow them out there a few times. But I was also there when they ripped off a 75-yard run on the first play of the game, and I thought a crater was coming to the earth that day. I mean, it was crazy. So it's going to be a challenge for Georgia on Saturday.
I was up there in 95 when Robert Edwards got hurt at halftime and tried to come out second half and broke his foot the first series of the second half, but had no answer for Robert Edwards that day. And that was right after that South Carolina game coming out party. So I've been up there. I was up there in 97. Kirby got a late interception on Peyton Manning. Overthrown ball, and Georgia took the lead there, was unable to hold it. So I've been to Knoxville several times. I was up there when Stokes came off the edge too on that blindside blitz and finished that game off.
Knocked the quarterback out. That was another one. Yeah.
Knocked the quarterback out. So
hey, listen, Crowder with the scoop and score.
Georgia's played in some big games. This is where we are. And I don't care. I see a lot of fans, somebody saying everybody, you don't remember the 8-4 days. I remember the 5-6 days. Okay. So I remember finding out you're going to the 95 Peach Bowl and people were running down around the damn streets like it's home. You know what I mean? We're about to go play Virginia in the Peach Bowl. we're not there anymore. That's not it. Kirby has built this thing to this is a national championship program. You want to play in big games. You're built for that. Listen, Gunner Stockton, I know so much about him. This kid is right for every reason. And everybody that's a Georgia fan should be pulling for Gunner Stockton, okay? He's everything you think he is behind closed doors. I hate to break it to you. Yes, he's got a 40-year-old truck, but you know what? He's also got a badass brand-new truck. That's not the only truck, okay? And it has nothing to do with how he plays, okay? But that being said, that's a kid that you would want to marry your daughter, I promise you. That being said, Gunner Stockton has to do it on Saturday. Nobody can make him. Nobody can want it more for him than Kirby Smart and Mike Bowen and everybody. He has to do it on Saturdays. Okay. And if he can't get it done, they're going to have to figure out something else, but they're all in on him right now. This is a big game for him. I'm very interested on what they do with him this week, but I'm confident and they've got to get him involved in the run game. As Jake said, if they're going to play man to man and they're going to line those guys up, when they run coverage off, Gunner Stockton will hurt you. He will run 3 or 4 times for 10 or 12 yards and hurt you. on plays like that. So you can't run off in man-to-man coverage because he will break the huddle. He did that a couple times against Texas. So we'll see. We'll see how Tennessee plays him. But listen, man, this is a big boy world. This is a absolutely big-time college football. Game day is going to be there. It's a 3:30 slot. It's not all on Gunnar Stockton. Let me be clear. It's not all on Gunnar Stockton. But he plays the position that is the most watched position in football. He's a guy that touches the ball every single play. He makes decisions for everybody else on that side of the ball. So it's a big game for him. I'm very interested in what they do. I expect to see a different offensive package out of Georgia. And I do think the run game is going to be heavily involved.
Guys, there's going to be a lot more to talk about as this week progresses. There's no question about that. Huge matchup looming. We'll be back to talk about it. We got Dogs HQ Plus coming this week. We got Dogs HQ Live. We've got the Georgia show again. The content will be endless. Stay here. Stay tuned. Hit that like and subscribe button here on our YouTube channel while you're here. We appreciate you tuning in. And we will be back with you very, very shortly as the Dogs prepare for a big matchup in Neyland Stadium. Have a great week. We'll see you soon.